can use it to show the presence of bugs, but not the absence of it. Solution is simple. It's not we that should think. We have computers to do that for us. By the way, do you know the guy who said that? Rostam? It's the author of Python. So many of you, I suppose, use Python on a daily basis. It's a good approach because they say that a good programmer is a lazy programmer. Don't do it yourself. Automate as much things as possible. So we should use automation during our software development. First of all, we can use automatic pre-generated tests to scan our application to make sure that there is no vulnerability, especially security vulnerability in it. We can use another class of software to analyze our sources or binaries without execution. It's called static analysis. Or we can add an additional layer of to our programs to analyze the execution in runtime. It's called dynamic analysis. Today I would like to tell you about our solution. It's UNITA. Consists of a code scanner that performs static verification and a web scanner which performs dynamic verification. And together they can be used to discover many potential classes of defects in software. They can be used to discover performance anti-patterns, database problems, concurrency issues, which are extremely important in today's software, as most of our software runs concurrently on multi-core processors. Security vulnerabilities, which is extremely important class of issue specifically for such a critical system like internet infrastructure. Moreover, we can assess our application whether or not it's good from the architectural point of view, and also we can discover more standard defects like null pointer exception or buffer overflows and so on. In case of web scanner, how does it work? It discovers the structure of a web application. It tries to do it automatically by analyzing HTML and JavaScript. Based on this, we generate test suits and to cover all security vulnerabilities, we generate specific data to try to break the application. From the security point of view, it's very important to scan a web application for authentication, authorization, and session management, because this usually has a lot of problems, and input and output verification covering various injections, like scrape injection, or command injection, SQL injection, very popular recently, cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgent, and many more vector attacks. This way you can minimize the risk that there are some hidden surprises in your web applications, and specifically the ones that can influence and have a serious impact on user data or sensitive data you store in your internet systems. So this is like testing user interfaces and public interfaces that are exposed to the internet community. You can verify your application from the other point of view, like the point of view of sources and or binaries of your application. There is another part of Unita solution that does it. It's Code Scanner. Code Scanner analyzes, parses the sources or bytecode. There are sort of sophisticated call flow, data flow analysis. We try to cover all execution paths and to make it feasible, we use some heuristic to generate a meta model of a program. This meta model is stored in an inference engine. It's an inductive database. And then we are ready to detect defects, specifically security defects in software. So we can analyze whether or not there is an execution path that leads to, for example, SQL injection. On one hand, we have analysis of software. On the other, we have formalization of security defects. So both parts are very important. This was like a very short introduction to show you from our own experience that while securing the internet infrastructure, you can't forget about software, because most of defects and most of the attacks that are performed against the internet infrastructure are performed against software. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So I was curious if you had any information data on actual events where registry breaches of 7 weeks off, or are you tracking any of that to kind of justify the whole product that you did here? I also comment that I think the biggest vulnerability is actually the people.
Yes. I agree, and there was a point about social engineering. Yeah, I agree that while securing internet infrastructure, it's the easiest way is to go through social engineering. However, when you take a look at top open web application security vulnerabilities, among top 10 security vulnerabilities, there are XSS and various injections. So it's important to take care of it and to include this kind of issues in software, specifically registry software, which is quite critical. The data you store, the user data you store, plus the domain names you store.
Did you have
statistics?
Can we please mention our names, because we are transcribing this eventually, so that we can get who said what?
My name is Rob Rasmussen from American Identity.
So we did. We don't have public statistics, so we don't want to reveal those statistics at the moment. About, for example, registrar systems. But we did preliminary scans on registrar systems, and I will tell you. I will tell you a little bit more. First, it started when we did manual audits of registrar systems. It turned out that they have quite a few XSS vulnerabilities. That's why that's the first moment we thought it would be important to have automated scanning of registrar systems, because basically registrar systems are the ones that are exposed to the public. Registry systems are quite close, exposed only to the registrars. Then we went to those web scanning solutions, and we decided it would be the best to implement the, your own solution, because there is no other automated solution to do such scanning. And at the moment, we are after preliminary automated scans of registrar systems, because we don't have access to registry systems, actually. So there is much more vulnerabilities that we detected from comparing to our first manual audit. But we don't want to reveal it to the public. We want to get the registrars to have. We want the registrars first to fix the issues.
This is an image for you, sir. So, in general, are registrar systems any different than other software systems that specific code that you can
pardon them? No, basically no. The same approach can be applied to any other web application. In case of a registrar system or registry systems, it's because of our experience and our preliminary thoughts about internet infrastructure. That's why we applied such an approach to the registrar systems at the first place. But basically, the idea applies to other web applications as well. Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Just quick update. Matsuo Minda actually got a hold of us finally. He just simply couldn't get stuff to us in time to do a remote presentation, but he will be at either Center or RIPE doing the same presentation at the summer, so we're quite happy to hear that he's actually okay. And hopefully we'll see him then. So next up we have Jot Powers from PayPal, who, courtesy of ISC pointing us in his direction, has some interesting things. I hope he's here, because I've not seen him yet. I have not. I think we're missing Jot. That's no good. We'll have to go poke him and find out where he is. Okay, well, then we'll skip ahead. We actually have Fujiwara from JPRS, I believe, who did manage to make it here, to which we are quite happy. Yeah, I'm going to see how to find
that. But otherwise, we're just flexible and push forward. And
absolutely.
Even if he comes and when he comes, we just put him.
Good morning. I'm Kazunori Fujiwara from JPRS. Today, I will talk about DNSSEC validation measurement, how to count validators. Today's content. First, assumption. And JPRS data, results, conclusion. First, assumption. How to detect validators? JPDS resource record has been introduced in root zone. JPDS key TTL is one day. Thus, DNSSEC validators send JPDS key query once a day. If the validators try to perform JP domain name validation every day. Definition, validators and resolvers. Validators are IP addresses which send JP DNS key queries seen at JP DNS servers. Resolvers are IP addresses which send JP zone queries seen at JP DNS servers. And then host-based diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation. The diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation may be measured by counting number of validators and counting number of resolvers. Number of host-based diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation equal number of validators divided by number of resolvers. And query count-based diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation. Number of queries from validators equal number of queries originated by validators. And number of queries from all resolvers equal number of queries received by JPDNS servers. Then query count-based diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation equal number of queries from validators divided by number of queries from all resolvers. Next, JPRS data. Overview of JP. .jp has 1.2 million registered domain names. JP DNS server serve 1.6 billion queries per day. And JPRS collecting packet captures and query logs. There are seven names and multiple operators and multiple locations, and 7 IP version 4 addresses, 6 IP version 6 addresses, and totally 13 IP addresses. JPRS dataset. JPRS collected 2-day long full capture of DNS packets around JPDS was registered in root zone. JPDS RR was introduced into root zone at about 4:38 December 10. JPRS collected from 22 o'clock December 9 to 14 o'clock December 12. 6 hours before JPDS was introduced and 48 hours after JPDS was introduced. And second data, JPRS has been collecting DNS query log from 2 of 7 JPDNS servers for 7 years. ADNSJP and GDSJP are operated by JPRS and located in Japan, easy to collect. Result of full packet capture. When JPDS was introduced into root, today 55 hours total. 1.8 million IP addresses sent 3.7 billion JP queries. 3,315 IP addresses sent 55,000 JP DNSSEC queries. 75% of DNSSEC queries came from one IP address. VeriSign Labs. And 5.6 of DNSSEC queries came from JPRS's monitor. And I calculated 4 time slot. This is the result of 55 hours packet capture. Before 6 hours, there are 280 validators. But why they send JP DNSSEC queries? They seem DNSSEC monitors. And after JPDS was introduced into root, first 24 hours, there are 2,400 IP addresses which send JPDNS key queries, and next 24 hours, there are 2,200 validators. And the number of resolvers are 1.4 million and 1.1 million. Ratio of validators are 0.168 or 0.205 per day. And validators share of queries are 5% or 4.27%. It's result of full packet capture. And then next, result of 2 of 7 JPDNS servers. Query log from AGDNSJP. JPRS has been collecting query logs from AMG for several years. Diffusion rate of DSEC validation may be calculated from the query log, but full resolvers have cache function. JPDSK details one day, resolvers can choose 13 IP addresses. Then JPDS query log doesn't contain full DNSK query. How to adjust? It's DSK queries from JPRS test validator. How many queries JPRS test validator send to AG? This is the result. And the validator sends JPZON query every day. Then it sends JPDNSK query once a day. In the example, there are continuous 6 days that our query log cannot detect JPDNSK query from the server. I made an assumption. An IP address is a validator if it sent JPDNSK queries in the past 7 days. This is the result of number of IP addresses which send JPDNSK queries. This thin line shows real AMG real data from AMG query log. And this line shows JPDS was introduced in root. And queries are increased about 300 or 400. And this thick line shows adjusted value. And this box shows from packet capture data 2400 or 2200. And from full packet capture, there are 2,400 or 2,200 IP addresses in both 24 hours. They are similar to the adjusted value 2,400 at December 17, 7 days later from December 10. The adjustment seems to fit the DNSK query. And currently, there are about 3,300 IP addresses which send JPDNSK queries. This chart shows number of IP addresses which send JP queries. This thin line shows IP addresses, the number of IP addresses collected by A and G query log. And this thick line shows adjusted value. And this box shows from packet capture data. The adjusted value of resolvers are between 2.2 million to 3.3 million. From full packet dump, there are 1.4 and 1.1 million IP addresses in a day. The adjustment doesn't fit for resolvers. I chose number of resolvers as fixed value 1.4 million weekday value. Then it's diffusion rate of DNSSEC validator host based. Currently 0.23% of IP addresses send JPDNSK queries. Increment before and after December 10 is 0.17%. It may be real DNSSEC validators. And recent value seems to similar to from packet capture data. This box and recent value, the adjusted value are similar. This chart shows diffusion rate of DNSSEC validation query based. 2% of queries may come from DNSSEC monitors because it came before JPDS introduction. increment is 2 to 8 or 9. Increment is 6%. 6% of queries may come from DNS queue validators. And cause of increase. 6% of queries may come from validators. A large scale organization might support DNS queue validation. Or some users of some large scale organization send JP DNS queue queries to their resolvers, but it cannot be identified. And who sent JPDNS key query before JPDNS was introduced in root? About 900 IP addresses. Why? There are many DNSSEC monitors. JPDNS operates our service monitors. Someone set JPDNS key as a trust anchor. At least I did. IP addresses which sent JPDNS key query before JPDNS was introduced may not be a real validators. Then, the increment after JPDNS introduction might be real DNSSEC validators. There are 3,000 IP addresses which sent JPDNS key periodically. Then, number of real validators are about 2,100, 0.17%. Conclusion and future works. Conclusion. I tried to define diffusion rate of DNS queue validation, and I calculated the diffusion rate of DNS queue validation using JPRSS data. Number of validators seems to be increasing. There seems to be about 2,100 validators. They send 6% of queries. Part of TLD DNS server's query log is useful to calculate diffusion rate of DNS validation. And future works and questions. I'm planning to improving accuracy to exclude DNS monitors or users' interest. And I need more data. Let's evaluate diffusion rate of DNS validation. Collecting DNS packet before and after TLD DNS introduction into root is useful, or root servers can collect complete data. May I ask to another data? Or then comments and questions. That's all.
Questions? One down here.
My name is Roy Arndt from Nomias, UK. I have an observation, two observations actually. At Nomias, we did a similar kind of research. We also monitored DS records, queries for DS records coming into our system. But not while we introduced the DS record, but when we changed the TTL of our DNS feed from 2 days to 1 hour. That for us was a method to filter out those monitors that statically resolve with a static frequency, let's say every day. Because obviously, when you change the TTL to a lower value or a higher value, then active caches, active validating resolvers should change their frequencies of query as well. So that was for us an interesting method to hash out those monitors. Another observation that we had is. And I think it's likely that .jp has the same thing. We host code.uk and UK from the same server set. I think JPRS or .jp does the same thing for code.jp and JP. Is that correct?
Pardon?
Is co.co.jp and JP hosted from the same server set?
JP and COJP are in same zone, only one JP zone.
Okay, yes, we have, though we have it in different zones, we host them from the same server. And the effect of that, and it gives you also a nice empirical data, is the effect of that is that the CO.UK zone obscures the UK zone. You might want to ask question for UK zone, but if the other UK zone is more accurate, it will answer from that zone. So validators will then have to do some additional work. And for us, it was a nice additional metric to see if it's actually validating instead of just asking for the intersect data. Next.
Thank you.
Anything else? No. Well, thank you very much. Oh, got one here.
George Marcuson from IDEA. I think it would be very useful to use
Oh, yes.
I think it would be very useful for you to characterize differences in query and response size behavior, because as the volume of valid data rises, the forward planning for traffic management and resourcing the system will have to scale. We noticed certain changes with the existence of the keys, but no route coverage, no route signing, so clearly no validation path existed, which may have increased parasitic requests for information that wasn't there. But I would be very interested in the longer term study of your changes in traffic and packet size and behavior differences between validators and general resolvers. So please keep doing this. I think this is very good.
Yes. Thank you.
Peter Hoff-Dienig and OR board member. First of all, I would like to thank you for this work. I think that's very important in setting a good precedent for others doing the same research there. We were asking for more data. This is the marketing platform OR, of course. So we have a bunch of data collections already there and going to collect more data during Diddle and other events. And maybe you come talk to Wayne or one of the other people active in OR, like Dwayne, and maybe can get access to the data and then do increase your research there. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, we found Jot. He was just behind getting in, so he'll be up next from PayPal. Can people who are still haven't got presentations in, can you get them fired off to Christina and myself as soon as you can, so we can get them up on the websites and Adobe Connect? All right, Jot, do you want to grab your laptop, Jot? You can run it off that.
Huh?
Grab your laptop. We'll get you to run it off.
And while we're setting up, if anybody doesn't have his cell phone turned down to silent, please do so now.
Do you have many adapters?
We do.
Yes.
We do one here.
I think you must do this in the right order.
Excellent. Sorry.
No problem.
There you go. We'll do it in PowerPoint. He's going to think about it. Let's do that. Is it possible to speak with that mic so I can move around?
Absolutely.
I just don't have a remote,
yep.
So we'll see.
Is it thinking about it?
It is thinking. What it's thinking, I don't know. That's not good.
That's not good. Ever could.
Never seen a blue screen of death on an Apple.
I've never seen that either. What's this name have to do with boot into Windows?
Boot camp.
Huh?
Ah, he's running boot camp.
That's power cycle.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you. Sorry about the mix-up.
Oh,
I had the latest schedule, now.
No problem.
We're pretty relaxed here.
I hate being late, though. It's a pathological thing for me.
No, but that's not a problem. We can easily move the next one.
You want me to go on the remote? So, because my talk is very similar to what we just talked about in the Japanese talk.
No, I, but
Well, we must move you forward 20 minutes anyway, because you were behind Minda, and Minda did not make it.
Okay, so that's fine.
It's okay. It will be fine. I'll pop it up in a second.
You can ask the employer to buy your netbook.
Or I can put in an SSD.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I did that actually. It's very fast.
I was going to try to...